lie on your back.
No objection there.
If there really is a self-organizing intelligence inside of us, or to say the same thing in almost the same words, if there really is an intelligence inside of us that if we do not interfere with it, is prepared and able to organize our actions, then what is it that we need to do to give it the possibility to actually function better? It's already functioning, otherwise none of you would have gotten here. But so something that we say to our students, which is to diminish effort, to not go beyond the limits of what is really, really easy. It's a good thing to remind yourselves, because I think that, or these days I'm thinking, you know, we think differently on different days, but these days I'm thinking that that's a big part of getting out of the way of the intelligence. So just bend both knees, put the feet on the floor. And with that thought in, not just in mind, but in kind of in approach, that thought of the attitude of speaking to the self-organizing function inside, begin to push a little bit upward and pull downward, setting up a direction upward and a direction downward. Now, it might turn out that it's a rocking, but don't think of setting up a rocking. Right? May or may not rock, but just the direction. What is the least effort that with which there's already a direction upward and a direction downward? And if the downward also comes from the feet, the legs, how can the legs and the feet start the downward direction? Notice if you're satisfied or dissatisfied so far. There are some of us who have an immediate, like, oh God, or oh, interesting. And the direction can be so much still in your thought and in your image that you're not even quite sure where you're feeling it, if you're feeling it. Or you can begin to distinguish that in some parts of the path, right? There's a path that goes through you, a path upward, a path downward, so that some parts of the path are clear and you can sense, and some parts of the path are still obscure, thick. Okay, and leave that and just lengthen out your legs. Maybe there's already some difference in how you experience yourself in relation to the floor or in relation to your breathing. And slowly again, bend the two legs, put the feet on the floor. Maybe you've already placed your feet differently. Maybe they're closer to the pelvis, or there's already a sense that you know what these legs will be asked to do, and therefore they're placed differently without you having to think about it too much. And just several more times, imagine before you do, the direction of upward and downward. And when we imagine, do you find yourself going to places that you missed while doing? While you imagine, can you go with a bit more detail and curiosity about what will happen through the lower parts of the pelvis, including the back of the sitting bones, the pubic bone, the hip joints? And it's in imagining movement that we discover where we are not clear about the image of ourselves in various parts, and that's a good thing to find out, and you can clarify that. And of course, the lower back, the spine that does not have ribs attached to it, and then the chest. Is it just the chest, or is it distinguished by the lower ribs, the breastbone, the middle ribs, upper ribs with the clavicles, the behind the scapula, and somehow the arms, not in a direct path of the upward and down, but somehow they'll have a relation. The neck, whether you sense it from behind or from the front or from inside the throat, and the starting place of your head in the contact in the back with the floor, either a little roll to the left or to the right, or roll down towards the base of the skull or upward. And somehow all of that gives the eyes a horizon, whether they're closed or not. And then a number of times start the action of these directions upward and downward. If you focus on getting the movement through, you might overpower whatever holding you have that keeps it from being smooth. So continue to make the directions clear and to follow in yourself what, where you do move and where you don't move. Okay. And leave that again. And this time just lower your left leg and keep the right knee bent. And bring your left arm to lie upward from the shoulder on the floor where it's comfortable. And then with your right leg, imagine first, if you start pushing with the right leg, so the push comes from the right side, even if you imagine that it goes upward, it will be asymmetrical. So just establish the line of direction that will go upward and that will return. What will be the What do you think will be the path? And then begin to, with the lightest of pushes, begin to travel upward in the direction and then allow that direction to come backward and come back to the beginning and maybe even pull downward a little bit. Just the part that's really easy. And So it's somewhere in the upward direction, and it may or may not reach the arm. Your arm may or may not creep to be a little longer and a little shorter, but those are just maybes. What does it take for us to really soften the chest so that the various directions that can travel through the chest, find a malleable, a soft, and we'll find out. It's just the first moments of the first day. Okay. So lengthen out your right leg. Bring your left arm down. Bend your left leg, put the right arm upward. And begin to push a little bit upward. See, it's a funny thing. If you knew if the goal was to lengthen the arm, it would almost be easier because you would know precisely what the job was. But the question really has more to do with if you push upward and you have just one leg, where does the push go? Might be quite a different angle than pushing through with the right leg. Often having to do with the various turns and twists and zigzags that we have acquired in the chest over the years at the base of the neck at C7. The relation of the shoulder girdle to the spine. And you can vary the push slightly, no? Depending on whether you're pushing more with the middle of the foot, if you had a line from the heel to the middle toe, or whether you're pushing more with the outside edge or the inside edge, or depending also where you have the foot standing. If it's closer to your pelvis or if it's further away or further from the middle over to the left. So it's a good thing to find out without overcoming how we are, to find out how we are. Because in the finding of where we are, we kind of meet the organization that is. The inner intelligence can grasp it and go, oh God, is this what I'm doing? And go to work. So again, maybe you're rolling to the right, maybe you feel somehow the upward push sort of spills out to the right on the wide part of your ribs, or manages to go upward more through to the arm. So it can be a push, but also a slight pulling downward. It's a double direction upward and downward. Upward and downward. And the upward usually is much more than the downward, but it's possible. Okay, and come back to the floor, bring your arm and leg down and back to meet it. Bend both knees again. And with both legs, introduce a direction upward and a direction downward. is something already clearer or more awake internally than at the beginning? So the big ongoing question for us always is, if we do less with a clearer thought, will more happen inside? So it's not doing less to do less, not to hurt ourselves, but doing less so that more can happen. Lengthen both legs again. And with your heels, so the legs stay long, and with your heels in kind of one spot in relation to the floor, can you again introduce a direction upward and downward? And the temptation may be to to do a lot so that you get at least the same amount of upward and downward through the spine as you did with the feet on the floor. So the heels need to hook into one spot on the floor. So it's not that the heels lengthen, stay in the same spot more or less, especially when you're flexing the foot and rocking yourself upward. If it's a little bit clearer for you to go faster, then go faster a few times. And then see if you can slow down again. And you can also put your hands on either side of your pelvis with the palms on the floor, and actually on either side of the pelvis on the floor, not on either side of the pelvis on the pelvis, and actually push yourself upward and pull yourself downward a little bit, so you have the hands and the heels generating this upward and downward. And is there any, so your arms wouldn't be, so the hands are not behind the pelvis, they're on the floor to the side. That's it. You feel how the whole trunk kind of pushes up between the clavicles and the shoulder blades, as if the shoulder blades, you go upward and the shoulder blades stay where they are relative to the floor, so they actually slide a little bit down on the thorax in the back. They slide down on the ribs just by virtue of staying where they are. Okay. And let all that be. Bend your knees. And of course, push upward and lengthen downward. Sometimes the more complex conditions of having the legs long make it easier for something more to happen. Under easier conditions. And you've been going slowly. You can go a little faster, too. If you'd like. No need to, but if you'd like. If you give some thought to the shoulder blades, some attention to the shoulder blades, and then some thought that they're actually more or less staying, they're not sliding on the floor. They're not sliding on the floor. The arms are not sliding on the floor. That you come upward and downward in relation to them and relation to the clavicles. Stay with your knees bent, but stop the rocking up and down, and lift and lower your pelvis a few times from the floor, looking for really a comfortable way of supporting it in the air. So maybe your feet are allowed to certainly move there where they are. They can get closer to the pelvis. And how does the support shift upward to the shoulders, to the upper back, to the shoulder blades? And stay with your pelvis lifted and keeping it at the same height as much as possible. Rock, push upward, so you have a direction upward and a direction downward to the wall that is below your legs. So it might be that actually as you lengthen downward, that you almost need to think of lifting the pelvis a little bit higher just so that it stays in the same place. Right? Otherwise, when you pull downward, you'll find that pelvis wants to go backward to the floor as well. But breathe. Put your arms wider if you'd like, but leave them on the floor. And listen, if you can sense how this whole upper back and the base of the neck are moving up and down in relation to the shoulder blades, the arms, the clavicles. Feel free to go faster, feel free to go slower. Don't feel free to hold your breath. That's the freedom we give ourselves very often. Okay, bring your pelvis back to the floor, lengthen your legs, and rest. Bend your right leg again. Put your left arm long next to your head. And with a number of times, roll yourself with the push of the right leg. The right leg is bent. The left one is long. The left arm is up. And roll yourself until you really are quite on the left side. And you can begin, you can even bring your head to rest on your left arm. So your right arm will probably lift from the floor and come over to the front. But the right foot needs to find a standing place that it can maintain. So move the right foot so that you can continue to be able to push with it in a moment. Thank you. And at the beginning, you can even have the right hand in front of your chest to support yourself. And begin to push very lightly, as if the push is still probing. It's looking for the direction. How will I push? So stay on the left side with your head resting on the left arm, if possible. You can support yourself with the right hand. Continue to look for a good place for the right foot so that as much of the whole right foot can stand on the floor, and the knee will be therefore to the ceiling. And the push begins to examine internally how it can get through. How can it get through? Upward, and you can aim for the head. And perhaps after some exploration, some probing, you'll find that actually your head does maybe not slide, but it creeps a little bit upward along your arm. And then take your right arm, place it over the top of your head, and hold your head as to lift it. So hold the left side of your head. And every time that the push finds its way upward, at the very end, you lift your head just a little bit so that it can travel, perhaps become a little longer. You know, he keeps saying it will happen by itself if you make light movements. And you can lift your head just enough to not be resting on the arm. And you can also lift it higher as if the whole right side of the head would come towards the right arm. But that's crazy, because you need to be pushing upward. So it's not the same thing as shortening the whole right side to lift the head. So there's the length of the pushing and the question of, like, can the right ear come more to the right shoulder without having to shorten the right side? Rome was not built in a day. But the idea of Rome was somehow there. So the idea is there. That's all. That's enough. Okay, leave it. Lie on your back. Someone's calling to object to my opinion that Rome wasn't built in a day. We heard you say that. Oh, I see the sleeves are coming down over the hands. Don't be embarrassed. I mean, you won't disturb us if you go get yourself some extra clothes. So please feel free to do that. Bend your left leg. Put the right arm up. And really take the time to find how to push with the left leg, to roll your pelvis, perhaps from the beginning keeping the foot as much on the floor as you can, the knee to the ceiling, but always feel free to move your foot on the floor. until you find how maybe the arm needs to move a little bit back to go under the head. The left arm comes forward so that you are lying really on the side, on the shoulders, but the pelvis, the left side of the pelvis is a little bit rolled backward. Right? You're not quite completely on the side. And when you support yourself with the left hand on the floor, and then begin to probe, to look for the upwardness through this slightly twisted trunk that will go through the pelvis, through the lower back, through the spine inside the chest, through to the top of your head. So probing is different than insisting. Probing is like, it's like a key, you know, when you're looking, I have to move it a little bit this way or that way to get through into the lock. If you get mad and keep pushing, you just stay outside your house and cold. And then you can bring your left arm over the top of your head, over to the right temple. And from the beginning, the lifting of the head would not be separate from the push. So that somehow the lengthening, the direction upward leads you to the moment when you lift your head to make it easier for the upward direction to get through the top of the head. And then is it possible to continue the lengthening upward while letting the head lift a little higher, the left side of the left ear, the left side of the temple, but without shortening the right side, so that some central length is maintained? Sure, the neck will need to bend, but and is it possible then to stay with the head lifted and go a little faster in a way that will introduce the direction downward as well, right? The oscillation up and down might have its so up being up and down being the opposite. Not backward. And is it at all feelable that the trunk still moves now in relation to the right shoulder girdle, the right shoulder blade? Okay, leave it and rest on your back. Bend your right leg, bring your left arm up again. Bring yourself, as you did before, to roll to the left with your head resting on the left arm. Bring the right arm over in front. And bring the right hand over the top of your head so that you can lift your head. So we're returning to see whether examining lie on the right side brings something to the right side again. So a few times, find the line, the direction upward, and listen for the ribs on the left side in the armpit region, as well as lower, kind of in the breast region. See if the push, while it goes up through you, through the spine centrally, also gives you time to soften those ribs on the left. And you can lift your head and, in a way, find out how much can you lift your head and yet keep the intention of length. And if you'd like, you can even go faster. You can go faster and have the... We have two directions here. So you can go faster upward and then just let the return be a kind of a release of the push upward. Or if you'd like, you can even entertain the thought of pulling downward. Can your head stay at the same distance from the floor, or does it go back to the floor when you go downward? So this is time for me to make my guarantee statement that by the end of the workshop, this will be much clearer and lighter, and we'll return to it to find that out. But now is now. You have to come to the present. Leave it. Rest on your back. Yeah, the more clothes journey. Bend both knees and direct yourself upward and downward. See if a minimal amount of work generate something clearer or fuller. You can go quickly. Okay, and leave it, and please roll to your stomach. Put your two hands standing so that your elbows are in the air, and put the toes for pushing. So put the toes under. And leave your head so it's symmetrical, somewhere on the forehead and the nose. So the elbows are in the air. The elbows need to be in the air. That's it. So your hands will be able to give you some support. And now actually lift your head a little bit. Lift your head a bit so that you're not squishing your nose. And begin to push upward and pull a little bit downward. Use your feet and your hands. And now, of course, the shoulder girdle is in the air. So what happens? Do you still go up and down between the shoulder blades? Do the elbows sort of stay in the same place? Or do you begin to be a bit more like a flapping bird? Maybe you can't quite tell. All right, so maybe all you can tell is whether you're going up and down or forward to the floor and backward. Okay, leave that. Leave that. Extend the, put your arms down. Extend the left arm to be up above your head. And put your right hand as standing. Put the right toes for pushing. And roll yourself leftward until your head can again rest on the left arm. But the toes really still need to be for pushing. So here, the pelvis will roll quite a lot less than the chest, if possible. Uh-huh. So you can really keep the toes, as many toes on the ground as you will require in a minute. To push yourself upward, so stay like this. Use your right arm. Really find the place for the right arm to support yourself. So you stay in this half-rolled position. And push back and forth with the right foot. Okay. So which way is back and forth? It's up and down rather than more left and right. Just up and down. Just up and down. Up and down. That's it. Some of you have gone fast, and that's, there's quite a bit of movement, but the direction of it is a bit all over the place. Okay, rest a moment on your belly. What? So bring the right arm upward and tuck the toes of the left foot and support yourself on the left hand. So roll your pelvis to the right only as little as is needed so that you can place your head on the right arm. Only as little as is needed. Use the left hand to roll the chest. Use the left hand to roll the chest so the pelvis doesn't have to do so much, so that your toes can stay more on the ground, and you can begin to push upward. And then to pull downwards also, so that it's an upward direction and a downward direction. That's it. Now, it can be that just having this different position, you lose the feeling of the push or even the image of the push in certain parts of your spine. Or maybe gain them. Okay, leave that, rest on your belly. Bring your left arm upward again, tuck the right toes, put the right hand standing. So you're not really lying on the left side of your pelvis. You're lying somewhere, some part of your belly. Yeah? So that the chest is turned more than the pelvis. And a few times again in this direction, this first direction, set the upward and downward. And as is so very often in these long things, it's which ribs to soften. And it's a challenge here because you might be using the chest to keep yourself in this position. So use the toes, use the hand, and find which ribs. Where on the left can you soften so the push can go through and come down? And for the adventuresome, for the adventuresome, take your right hand off the floor, take your head with the right hand, and lift your head as you push upward. So it's in relation to the push, right? So the head lifts when the push comes up. The head lifts when the push comes up. So focus on the push upward. The head lifts when the push comes up. So the softening of the ribs, it's not just the ribs, it's every way the ribs and the left shoulder girdle and the left arm begin to differentiate. In thought, if not yet in reality. Mm-hmm. And leave that and rest on your belly. And return one more time to the left arm standing, the left hand standing on the floor, the right arm long upward, the left toes tucked under. And as you roll on the ribs, as you roll on the ribs, and then bring yourself back to the floor in front, right from the beginning, just from the getting into position for the ATM, just for the particular action, just find, can you already soften into the floor in front? Already soften into the floor in front with the parts that come forward to meet the floor. And then stay, and a few times if you'd like, keep the support of the left arm. Keep the support of the left arm on the floor so that you can examine as you push upward and pull downward how the ribs can soften in relation to the floor and in relation to the arm and shoulder. Okay. The shoulder doesn't slide on the floor, but the ribs somehow move upward, which is, of course, what causes the head to push up along the arm. And then when your attention is in those upper regions, you can take your left arm, bring it over the top of your head, and find whether lifting your head actually helps you focus more or deepen more into those upper ribs. If it actually makes things less clear, then give it a chance. Go a few times with your head lifted, looking for the ribs. But then if it doesn't, if it just clouds the water, then put the left hand for standing again. What a strange approach to those upper ribs. Strange approach. But it's worth spending a few more seconds on it. Okay, and leave it. Put your head symmetrically again, the two elbows standing. And put the both toes for pushing. Lift your head a little bit. And just see how it is now to push up, pull down. if somehow there's something a little bit more independent between the ribs and the shoulder blades. Maybe not yet, but perhaps. And leave that and rest on your back. Bend both knees, and of course rock, set the direction upward, set the direction downward. So there's a central question of how the push and the pull go through the spine, how the ribs come along with the spine. And then there's a question of whether the ribs, the upper chest, move in relation to the shoulder blades, in relation to the scapula, in relation to the clavicles. And stay with the knees bent. Cross your right leg over your left. Turn your face so you're looking to the right, and place your left hand behind your right ear. So your head is turned to the right, and your left hand is behind your right ear. And as you push up with the left leg, at the end of the push, lift your head from the floor. So it's at the end of the push, keeping it, of course, to the right. And make it light, keep it light, lift your head, and again, it's a question of, like, your head has to lift so something comes forward, but can the lengthening be primary and the lifting be secondary so it doesn't shorten you in the front? And have the right hand be on the floor, and if the push is going more towards the right shoulder, certainly let it. Yeah, don't try to make it go to the middle. And you can put your head back to the floor between every push so that it comes back up again with every push. And lift your head in a little more to the right, a little bit more forward, so you can find whether this pushes the chest in relation to the right shoulder more clearly. Okay, because if the right shoulder blade stays glued to the floor and you move in relation to it, perhaps. And uncross your legs, leave it, have a rest. And bend your knees, cross the left over the right. Turn your head to the left and bring your right hand behind your head. The right hand is behind the head. And the left arm is down alongside you. Set. Now, if you bring your right foot in the middle, it's going to be hard to push. So leave your right foot where it would be standing if both feet were standing. Yeah, so your right foot still stays to the right, doesn't go to the middle. And that way you really have a push that goes diagonally to the left. And at the end of every push, you lift your head without making the length smaller, without contradicting the lengthening, I should say, without contradicting the lengthening, and looking how to direct the push and the lifting of the head so that the left shoulder blade gets more weight and that the ribs can slide, again, in image, in reality or in image. Right, don't make it happen. Look for where to lift the head and how to make the push. And have the image that the left shoulder blade stays glued to the floor, but the head and the chest go upward in relation to the clavicle, to the shoulder. It's not you that has to make it happen. It's you that has to make the image clear so that that inner intelligence will sort out where to stop holding so that it can happen. Okay. And again, leave it. Stretch your legs. Bring the arms down. And bend both knees. Set the direction upward and downward. And of course, as you push upward, because the head is on the floor, it rocks, right? The chin comes away from the chest, the contact shifts upward, the horizon goes higher. So pause the rocking for a moment and bring your hands somewhere to the hair behind and above your ears a bit. And if you don't like pulling your hair, then find a way to hold your skull so that at the end of every push, instead of your head rocking, you can lengthen it with the help of your hands. So you might need to lift it a little bit, but just enough to keep it from getting stuck on the mat behind. And with the head like this, you can, you know, take time, pause, put your head back. Because he says something here that requires quite a powerful image. The feeling is, he says, that the chest lies on the floor and the spine moves through the chest to lift the head. Absolutely. That the feeling is that the chest, that means the ribs, really continue to lie on the floor, and the push goes through the spine, through the chest, and through to lift the head. Right? So it's a kind of a metamorphosis, a change of what we've been listening to, which is really the chest moving in relation to the shoulder girdle. So the push goes through into the pelvis, right? Through the hip joints, into the pelvis, into the sacrum, that narrow cylinder, and then really through into the spine. And there's no way to will or to effort to keep the ribs on the ground. So this is a moment where the image is the only power that we have. The image and the lightness of our movement. As if all you had were legs, pelvis, and spine. And somehow your head floats magically. And we don't have to sense that this is so at the beginning. We just image that it is so in spite of the sensations. Okay. Great. Leave it. Take a moment with your legs long if you'd like to. Draw any comparisons that you want. And just experience yourself as you are now through the breathing, through settling into the floor in spite of the coolness that you might feel. And anytime you'd like, you can, of course, come up to standing. And when you stand, you're not actively pushing the floor, but there's certainly quite a bit of weight coming to the floor through those legs and through those feet. Therefore, it's an interesting moment to find whether the ground support comes up. In a way, the pushing that we do when we're lying on the floor, it's like mimicking the ground support. It's provoking it from the floor. Now we don't provoke it, we just either find it or not. Good. We'll take a break, a warm-up break.